Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday. On this week's episode, we speak with Savannah Bananas pitcher number 30, Connor Harris. Connor shares his incredible story of resilience and direction from growing up, going to Yankees games, playing baseball throughout school, nearly losing his baseball career due to a severe injury, to now playing banana ball. Not to mention, he'll be playing at Yankee Stadium in the upcoming 2026 banana ball season. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Locks That Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, VBash Med Spa and the Hudson Valley Ketamine Lounge, Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation. Hey there, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh here at the MHA Studios, and we got a great episode for you guys today. We've had some other Walshes on Walsh Wednesdays, but I think this is the first time I'm having another Connor on, and it is beautiful to see another Connor succeed. With us, we have a banana ball player, not just any banana ball player, a Savannah Banana. Number 30 out on the field, but number one in your hearts. With us today, we have Savannah Banana pitcher, Connor Harris. Connor, how you doing, bro?
Hey, I'm doing well, Connor. How are you?
Doing very good, Connor. I love having another Connor here. Oh, it just feels so special. That's awesome. So, dude, congratulations on being a Savannah Banana. I see you're wearing the hat right there. If anybody's been following your journey, they might know that you had your banana ball debut earlier this summer. That was for the visitors, but now you're actually going to be playing for the team. Before we get into your whole story, you've been doing a whole media circuit. I'm one of them. I know I'm just one of many, but like, what has it been like ever since you found out you were drafted?
It's been a it's been a whirlwind of emotions, honestly. So once the draft happened, because it was the banana ball added two more teams this year. Yep. So they added the Coconuts and the Clowns, and then there was four other teams with the Bananas, Firefighters, Party Animals, and Tailgaters. So day one of the draft was the first five rounds, and I was expecting to go. And so I had my whole family there, probably like 30 people, just packed in, packed in our house, in our living room, waiting for that moment to hear my name called. And, I mean, it could have been any of the teams. I didn't really know. Ultimately, didn't end up hearing my name called in the day one. So I had to go to bed that night, just like think, all right, like tomorrow's the day. Tomorrow's the day. And the next day, I'm waiting, and it wasn't televised. So it was on my phone. So basically they would just call me. So I'm sitting there, and like some of my family had to leave. And finally I get a phone call. So I flip out. I'm like, all right, come on, everyone, come on. So everyone kind of gets behind me, and I answer the phone call, and you just see the Savannah Bananas uniforms. And like everyone just goes absolutely nuts. And it was just like that, one of those moments where it felt like all of the hard work, all of the adversity that I've dealt with to get to this position really paid off, and I was happy my family was there to see it. And since then, it's just been it's been wild. I mean, definitely getting more attention on the media side. I mean, I've been posting since the summer, but a lot of the posts, even like my old posts, are starting to get a lot more traction. So now it's just about me trying to tell my story in different ways through social media, so that the people that are following me can kind of get a grasp on who I am and the man I am before they see me out on the field next year in yellow.
Yeah, that's so sick. And honestly, you have great content out there already. And one thing I got to say about your content, you've mentioned how you've been surrounded by your family. You seem like such a family man.
Yes. Yeah. It's, I mean, people ask me what I do for fun outside of baseball. And obviously baseball takes up a lot of time with the training and the work that goes into it. But anytime that I'm not doing that, it's spending time with my family. There's such a big reason that I'm in this position today, that I'm going to play for the Savannah Bananas. So once I started posting, I got some really good advice of make sure that your post and your content is something that's truly important to you. And there's no one that's more important than my family. So I've been featuring them a lot. I've been featuring my nana, my mom, my dad, my sisters, and it's been a blessing to be able to share with the world how special they are.
Yeah, I find that some of my favorite influencers are those who actually incorporate their family and kind of really give you a sneak peek on what's important to them. So that's beautiful that you get to do that. So let's kind of break it down a little bit. I saw on one of your clips, you said you're living a dream you never knew that you had. I know that you're a big New York Yankees fan. You're actually going to get to live the dream of playing at Yankee Stadium in 2026. That's phenomenal. Playing for the Savannah Bananas, you're essentially playing for the Yankees of Banana Ball. Is it fair to say that?
Yeah, I mean they're definitely the team that started it all, and there's some great other franchises in Banana Ball that are growing big time, and that's so great for the sport. And one of the things about Banana Ball is that it breeds competitiveness within every single team, every single game, and that's what makes it so special because it combines that competitiveness with the entertainment side. And I mean, a lot of the clips that you've seen that have gone crazy have been the Savannah Bananas, and they're the best at it. So it's a blessing to be able to wear the yellow and now be able to entertain and compete.
Yeah, absolutely with that. It's funny with it because you see the entertainment value, and it's like so much is rehearsed and staged in the sense of, you're doing the routines and the dances or anything like that. But these aren't staged games. These are still real games. And I think that's a misconception that a lot of people have out there where it's like, oh, it's all a show, right? But it's a real game.
100%. And that was definitely so. A lot of people will compare the Savannah Bananas to the Harlem Globetrotters, which is definitely a compliment. I mean, the Harlem Globetrotters were one of the biggest things in the world at one point. But what separates the Globetrotters from the Bananas is that if you come to one game in March and then you come to a different game in April, you're going to see two completely different shows, two completely different games, two completely different outcomes. Every single game that we do, we try and put out 25 to 30 things that you've never seen on a baseball field. So the common misconception, because everyone sees it on TikTok and Instagram and social media, that what goes viral are like the dances and the skits. But behind the scenes, I mean, these guys are working their tails off. It's a joy to see. I was just in Savannah last week, and people are showing up at the field at 7 a.m., staying until 6 p.m. So
That's
it's a lot
commitment.
of. Oh yeah, I mean it's the talent of these guys too. I mean former minor league guys that are playing Division I baseball. It's pretty much one thing I love about it is everyone in the organization at one point or another in their career was told no, was told that, hey, listen, like you can't, we don't see you making the big league roster. We kind of you've been in Double A for a while, or hey, like I know you were very talented at the Division I level, but we just don't see you as a draft pick, or a big injury that happens. So everyone in the organization has this unbelievable perspective on the game and how like lucky and blessed we are to be able to play it on a daily basis and be able to make an impact on people. But the competitiveness of it is kind of really cool for us because we get to still compete at like the same level that we've always known to compete at. But we also get to have a platform to be able to make an impact, whether it's on social media or one-on-one conversations before and after games. So it's really the best of both worlds, and that's why I said it was the dream I never knew I had, because it really just amplifies so many different qualities of mine that I wouldn't have been able to show if it was just a regular baseball game.
Which is very true. Savannah Bananas takes baseball to a whole new level, that's for sure. So one thing that I saw in one of your clips, and this really stood out to me, especially having a theater background, along with doing sports all throughout school, born for Broadway, raised on baseball, now I get both. Let's unpack that a little bit. When you were growing up, what was the first love and what inspired you in both realms?
So with baseball, because that was always a dream. When my growing up, my dad was the coach from Little League all the way up until right about high school. And I think he'll still say he still has a coaching role at some point, but now it's just from the stands.
Yeah.
But I've always thought of in general as an opportunity to put on a show, because I mean you're the focal point. The game starts with you. Everyone's eyes are on you. And I've always loved that. Like I've thrived on it, and I feel like I'm born to entertain. Like I've always shown a lot of emotion, even off the diamonds, in the dugout. There's always been a little bit of me that's wanting to put on a show. And with Banana Ball, it's not only allowed, but it's encouraged. Like one thing we talk about is like we're gonna work hard, we're gonna win, and when we do, we're gonna celebrate. Like celebrating is encouraged, entertaining is encouraged, and that's what Broadway is. Broadway is bringing people together to give them an opportunity to kind of escape from real life for a little bit and get something that's bigger than just baseball or bigger than just a show, but give people a reason to smile or a reason to feel something. And in Banana Land, when you show up to a game, it really is an escape from reality. I mean, everybody, the amount of joy that's just radiating from everybody is so special. And I take a lot of pride in my ability to do that, my ability to entertain, to put on a show, and also compete at the highest level. So I really do believe I got the best of both worlds.
Heck yeah, man. That's so cool. And again, that's the thing with Banana Ball, because you can't just be a great athlete. You need to have this personality. You need to be able to have this ability to entertain and captivate audiences in a way that, say, the MLB, can't. That's just straight up baseball. So I saw on your Instagram, you posted a video of you in choir. And it's also funny because you tower over everybody too, which is hilarious. But besides choir, what were some of your experiences in the arts as you were growing up before Banana Ball that actually helped lead into Banana Ball?
So honestly, choir was pretty much it. I mean, I didn't really have time. I would have always loved to like do the theater and like be one of those like main characters, but growing up, it was just such a like a vision of I'm gonna play in the MLB, I'm gonna do this. So like my days always kind of revolved around that. And I would always tell myself, I mean, it was great advice from my dad, but at the end of your day, like look at yourself in the mirror and say, what did I do today to get closer to my goals? And so with baseball, like whether it was working out or throwing or doing mobility, like there were so many different ways that I feel like I could get to that level. But things like choir, like I was so choir, you're supposed to be very much like in unison. You're supposed to like not really move much. And I actually just talked to my choir teacher a couple of weeks ago, just on messages. And he was like, yeah, I mean, there were some times I had to reel you in a little bit because we'd be singing like some classical song and I'd be like moving, like doing like snaps. He's like, Connor, like, just chill out. Just chill out. Like, chill out a little bit. So it's pretty funny now because now Banana Ball, they say whatever's normal, do the complete opposite. So I'm in the right spot now.
That's funny. Whatever's normal, do the complete opposite. But for you, actually, that is normal. That was always a part of you. So that's kind of interesting now that you get to really focus on that and you can be out there. Something that you were saying, how you're like very goal centered. It reminds me of the story that Hugh Jackman told about like his early career. And I think about this all the time when I think of reaching my goals. He was going off to an acting school that he was working his ass off to get into. But then he got offered a role on a TV show in Australia. And he's like, oh, shoot, what do I do? I can only do one or the other. And he goes to his dad, you mentioned your dad, and it's like, what do I do? And he says, only you will know the answer. In the end, he ended up going to the school, and we know Hugh Jackman for who he is today. The show unfortunately tanked shortly afterwards anyway. But one thing that Hugh Jackman said was, you'll get presented awesome opportunities, but you got to figure out if they're distractions from the main goal. And it sounds like you were able to kind of differentiate the things that would lead you on your goal and the distractions out there.
100%. And like that's a great point because there were so many different things over the course of my career and leading up to this moment where you kind of have to figure out if I do this thing, am I doing it for the short-term satisfaction? Like, am I doing it just because I need that kind of reassurance, or am I doing this because I feel like it's truly getting me to my ultimate goal? So, I mean, Even like that's the name of baseball too. Is like there's so many different little things that you can do on a daily basis to make yourself a better ball player, make yourself a better person. And in baseball, it does not get rewarded all the time. I mean, you can make a perfect pitch and give up a home run. You can hit a line drive and it can be right at somebody. It's pretty much the only sport that happens in. So that just teaches you so much about how to go through life, about as long as you're doing everything in your power and you're controlling what you can control, like there's going to be a lot of really good things that come from it. So even like when I decided to go pursue banana ball, and it was this summer, I got in there and I had not posted on social media at all. I didn't even have a TikTok account. I barely posted on Instagram. And I saw that all of these people had these huge accounts. And I always thought in my head, like, I mean, like I just don't really like to post on social media because I don't need that. Like I don't need that like satisfaction of like, okay, this many people liked your picture or this many people commented. I didn't want to be like, I'm showing off like what I can do. And then when I got there, they were like, it's gonna be a tough process at first. Like you're not gonna get as many views, not gonna many as likes as you would like. But if you make a post and it impacts two people, like you're doing something in a positive way. And once I reshaped that mindset of I'm posting on social media to make an impact versus I'm posting on social media for everyone to look at what I'm doing. It made it a lot easier for me. And it wasn't that initial, like, hey, like, wow, like everyone's loving my post. Everyone's loving this. Like, it wasn't that initial, like, satisfaction of I'm doing it right. But I knew in my head, if I keep doing this the right way, my ultimate goal near future. And it's going to benefit me and benefit a bunch of other people in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a thing that a lot of people really need to work on these days because, in the age of all these cell phones and everything, the instant gratification is really stripping away from people. To have that mentality of be like, all right, I'm in this for the long run and making things happen, that's huge. That's huge. So, when it came to the long run, I do want to give a shout out to the Hudson Valley because I'm here in Dutchess County. You went to high school in Dutchess County. Though you're from Connecticut, you went to Trinity Pauling, not too far away from here. And that's where, you were doing a lot of your prep when it came to baseball. And how early did you get the number 30? Was number 30 in high school, or did you have it even sooner than that?
So number 30 was in high school,
High school, and
and
that's what I thought.
shout out to Trinity Pauling for sure. And so that story was pretty crazy. So I spent 4 years at Avon High School, and my senior year, again, like talk about that instant gratification. When I was a senior halfway through the year, doing everything right, working my tail off, pitching pretty well, but I had zero Division One offers, and it was something of felt like I had more confidence in myself than a lot of other people had in me in terms of college coaches. I mean, there's a lot of Division One schools, and I was just like, not one of them wanted to take a chance on me. And I felt like I was capable of it. Like, I knew in my mind that I was capable of doing it. So I got an opportunity to go to Trinity Pauling for a postgraduate year. And I got there, and basically, I took it as okay, like, this is a year to get bigger, stronger, faster, improve your SAT scores, improve your academics. And it was amazing, and I learned so much about myself in that moment because of that. Like, because it was a situation where a lot of my friends, most of my friends, were all experiencing freshman year in college, which is a great time. Everyone's like all over the country. Like, people would be out at like a bar on a Thursday night, and I'd be in my room studying. And it was like, and I just kept looking at myself like, this is for the long run. Like, this is the long run. You're chasing your dream. You're chasing something. And maybe I'm not getting that same fun moment that they're having right now, but it's coming. It's coming. And that's been a really cool thing for me to learn. And that's what I learned in that moment was, like, if you got a goal, if you got something that you're chasing, you can really truly look at every day as an opportunity to get closer to it. And that's definitely what Trinity Pauling did for me.
No, that's awesome, man. It's cool. The confidence that you had in yourself, you gotta have that. You have to be your number one advocate above all. And it's not showboating, it's not arrogant. You have to be there for yourself. I always remember a story, Barry Gibb from the Bee Gees, that he would tell. Sorry, I don't have more sports stories. I'm more on the entertainment side. But he said to a girlfriend early on, before he was Barry Gibb, he was like, "Stick around, babe, because I'm going to be huge one day. I'm going to be one of the biggest songwriters of all time." And she's like, "Eh, whatever." And then, of course, he did. But he had that mindset from the beginning. He knew when other people didn't, just like you know. And here you are. And this is still only the beginning. And pause. We're going to take a quick break from our interviews to hear from our sponsors. First up, we got our friend Andrew O'Grady from MHA of Dutchess County.
This winter and holiday season, let's remember something simple but powerful. Check in on your neighbors. A quick hello, a phone call, or even a smile can make a world of difference. This is Andrew O'Grady, CEO at Mental Health America of Dutchess County. When we reach out, we're not just helping others, we're helping ourselves. Staying connected is one of the best ways to boost our mental health and well-being. At Mental Health America of Dutchess County, we believe in building a community where no one feels alone. So take a moment today. Make sure you pass along a kind gesture, because kindness is contagious and connection matters. Who knows, maybe that person you made smile will do the same to somebody else. From all of us at MHA of Dutchess County, we wish you the happiest of holidays. And remember, we want you to be your best you possible.
Next, we have a message from our friend Jeff Feldman from Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law.
Hi, I'm Jeff Feldman. In 1986, when Paul Kleiman and I started our practice, our goal was to create a law firm where you could meet with an attorney and feel confident that that attorney would be with you every step of the way. Today, the firm has been successfully trying cases at all levels of state and federal courts throughout the Hudson Valley and Capital District. We have been selected as one of the best personal injury and medical malpractice defense law firms by U.S. News and World Report every year since 2009. For all of those years, we were the only firm chosen in any litigation specialty between Albany and White Plains. Your case is important to us. Giving you the time and personal attention you deserve has always been the hallmark of success. Initial consultations are free of charge and always with an attorney.
A message from Dutchess Beer Distributors. Dutchess Beer Distributors presents Football Face-Off. Come on out to your favorite Hudson Valley bars and restaurants where you can win free Bud Light and neutral seltzers. You can check out the events calendar to see where Dutchess Beer Distributors will be next in the description of this episode.
Walsh Wednesday wants to give a big thank you to Prime Storage. It's the end of the year, and you may need to free up space for guests for the holidays, store seasonal decorations, secure valuables, and maybe even hide the presents. A temporary storage unit can help declutter a home, protect fragile items during a busy period, and provide a convenient way to organize and transition belongings before, during, and after the festive season. Whatever the reason, Prime Storage makes storage simple through seamless service, flexible rental options, and facilities conveniently located throughout the United States and Canada. By using our link in the description of this episode, you will get one free month of storage, plus you'll save 15% on rental rates. Make the holiday season simpler and store with Prime Storage. Up next, we have our friend Philomena Finelli from Impact PR and Communications.
Thanks, Connor. I'm Philomena Finelli, CEO of Impact PR and Communications and a media maven, which is a fancy way of saying that my team and I help companies get in the news, transform leaders into thought leaders, and cut through the clutter with messaging that matters. And we do it all with a smile. Our agency was named the Woman-Owned Small Business of the Year for 2024 by the Metro New York District Office of the U.S. Small Business Administration, and we received the Gold Stevie Award for Woman-Run Workplace of the Year, which is an international recognition. But it's not about the awards, it's about the personal interactions. We at Impact PR and Communications pride ourselves on crafting meaningful, results-driven public relations campaigns that are tailored to meet and exceed our clients' goals. If you want to learn more and talk to my team and I, visit PRwithimpact.com and let us know that you found out about us from Walsh Wednesday.
Thanks for listening, guys. It's time to get back to the show and play. This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Day Rock, Lockset Rock Hair Design, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, Dutchess Beer Distributors, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law, Vivash Med Spa and the Hudson Valley Ketamine Lounge,
Prime Storage, and Walsh Valuation.
And this is still only the beginning. But at one point, it looked like there wasn't going to be this beginning, because in college, you tore your UCL, and you had to have Tommy John surgery. For a lot of pitchers, that could be game over. So let's talk about that period of your life.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was definitely a tough time for me. It was – so that was my senior year of college. So
At the finish line.
Right. So my junior year, I started talking to some MLB teams and ultimately didn't get drafted, but it was looking pretty good for that senior year. And so worked my tail off that summer, had my best summer yet in Mystic, Connecticut, came back in the fall, had a really good fall, and it was like game on for me. Like, I was as locked in as ever. And first week of the season, I threw a one pitch at James Madison University and just felt a pop in my elbow. And I kind of like took a step off the mound and like readjusted, because like as a pitcher, like you kind of feel stuff all the time and you just kind of just go right through it. And then I throw the next pitch and then my whole arm just starts shaking. And I come in the dugout and I just like sit down, and I'm like never one to like show my emotion that much in a negative way in the dugout. Like, I'm very much like stone cold in that way. So I sit down and I'm just like looking at the ground, and my coach comes over and he's like, "Hey, you're throwing the ball great. Like, keep it up." I'm like, "No, like this is different than that. Like it hurts." Mm. And so ultimately I get an MRI and it's completely torn. So it's a 12 to 15 month recovery. And now I'm just faced with this like really like weird timeline of, it's a senior year. I'm about to graduate from George Washington, really good school. And I don't have any sort of view on what the future is going to look like, because what if I'm going to go do a graduate year somewhere? How is anybody going to even want to recruit me? I mean, I won't even be able to pitch until April. And so I sat down again. I remember being in the living room with my pops that summer, and with no idea where I'm going in the summer. And it was a legit thought of, I just graduated from a really good school. Maybe it's time to just go get a corporate job. Maybe it's time to go pursue that side of my career. I mean, it's been an awesome run, but maybe it's time. And he told me, he said, "This game has given you way too much, and you've given way too much to the game for it to end not on your terms. Like, you have to be 100% certain that's it." And he knew in my eyes that I was not anywhere close to that 100% certain. So started pursuing other schools, and ultimately Winthrop University in South Carolina took a chance on me. But showing up there, I mean, as a fifth year in college after I had four great years at George Washington, and just getting there in the fall and being injured was terrible. I mean, it was – because you always want to prove yourself, you know, you like once you get in a situation. I've always been that guy that's a leader, that's a really good teammate. And I felt like I was so limited to what I could do, because I had never, I'd never been in that spot where I'm there in a new spot and not able to pitch.
Yeah.
So again, I mean, I reshifted my mindset to be thinking, instead of why me, instead of like why did this happen to me, of what an unbelievable opportunity to learn so much about myself. And I figured out there were so many different ways I could be a leader, so many different ways I could be a teammate without even throwing a pitch. And in order to earn the respect of my teammates, I felt that the best way to do that was to just show them how hard I work, show them how bad I want it. So worked my tail off that first fall, and then came back in 11 months and pitched my first game back in St. John's, which is wild. It was the only one game that we played at all in the Northeast. So I had like 50 of my family members there. Ended up just going two innings because of the pitch count. But two innings, no runs, finished on a strikeout, and the whole place went nuts. And I always say that was one of those moments where I just like kind of looked at myself after. I was like, you know, I'm proud of you, Connor. Like, I really am. Like, you, there were so many different times where you could have given up, so many times where you could have kind of gone through the motions, and now you're in a really good spot. So it was Tommy John was by no means an easy process. It was really tough, but looking back at it, As crazy as to say, I'm glad I went through it.
Well, it made you not just a stronger athlete, but a stronger person. It made you more resilient. It's crazy that you had to go through that. And I'm sorry that you had to go through that. But again, like, you kind of look at the domino effect of your life. It led you to this moment. It led you to Banana Ball. And let's talk about, like, we've been talking a lot about the lead up and everything. Let's talk about that submission video that you sent in. What in your right mind made you decide, it was like, you know what, Banana Ball is the next best option? Where, how, what was that process like?
So the next year after I came back from Tommy John and I was fully recovered, I was pitching really well. And I started to think, like, okay, like, maybe I do got a shot at the MLB again. Like, I know I'm on the older side now, but I really do believe that I still have a shot. And I was first in the country in strikeout to walk ratio and first in the country in least amount of walks. So I come into the stadium one day and my coach calls me in his office and he's like, Connor, I got something to tell you. And so I sit down and he was like, so I just talked to a scout about you and they really love you. And I wanted to see your thoughts on it. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like what team is it? And he's like, it's the Savannah Bananas. And I was like, oh, that's not the MLB. Like, they don't play with the Yankees. So at first I was like, oh, and then I got home and I made the call to the recruiter and we talked on the phone for an hour. And one of the biggest things I was just asking was like the competitive side of it, of like, I know, like, I see all the social media stuff. I see all this kind of like any sort of like fair weather fan. And he basically just told me, like, I mean, this is a lot of talent. It's a lot of guys, like what I said earlier about, it's a lot of guys that are in a spot like you where they want to keep playing, they want to keep doing it, but like they've been told no. And it's a great collection of guys, and it's I think it'd be a great opportunity for you. So I make a couple calls to guys that are actually on the Bananas and like just to ask their side of it, like their angle of like one of the guys, Danny Hosley, he played at George Mason, and I played at George Washington, so we played against each other, so I knew that. And so I talked to him for a while. He basically like kind of reassured all of the stuff that I was thinking about, of like, hey, like, this is baseball, like there is that, you don't lose that 1v1 pitcher versus hitter mentality, like that team mentality is still there. And ultimately he was like, the recruiter was like, I think that you have a great opportunity to come in this summer. And it's a 6-week program, a developmental team of Banana Ball, the visitors. And then after that, you'd be given a shot, like not guaranteed, but like, you got to have to kind of show out in 6 weeks. So I kind of took a couple days, talked to my family, and ultimately I said, you know, this is a great opportunity. And it's not the MLB, but it gives me an opportunity to keep playing the game that I love and to impact people on a level that at that moment I had no idea. I mean, now looking at it, like I looked at it like it was way smaller than what it is. I mean, the opportunity for reach and impact with the Savannah Bananas is extraordinary. So, and then after that, I sent in my video and then got the contract and played 6 weeks in the summer. And then that ultimately led to this.
That must have been so cool, though, playing as the visitors. Sure, you weren't, like, officially on yet, but, like, to be able to go through those 6 weeks and to be playing those stadiums in front of those crowds with that level of energy, that must have been insane. That must have been like, oh, Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore kind of moment.
Oh, yeah. I remember the first game we played in Louisville. And there's 15,000 people there, which is the most people I've ever played in front of. And I walked out before the game, and it was like 4 hours before the game, and there may have been 7,000 people there already and just waiting there, like waiting to get in. And then all of a sudden, everyone starts doing a countdown. So it's like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then everybody, like, they cut the ribbon, and everyone just like bulldozes in the stands. And I was like, wow, like the passion that these fans have. And it was just like a surreal moment because I'm looking out there and I've been a part of some great crowds in the stands as a like Yankee fan going to Giants games. But the moment of like, wow, they're all here to see me. Yeah. Like they're all here to watch me. And it kind of gave that little taste of it that I'll get a lot more next year. I mean, we open up at Florida State and then we go play in Texas A&M in front of 100,000. So it'll be definitely an awesome season. But yeah, that summer was so cool, and able to like talk with all the guys and get all their feedback, and they were so receptive to us right when we got in. Like every single one of the teams like made sure to come up and like get to know you, get to know your story, and just made you feel so welcome, which just makes me want to do that even more next year for the new guys.
Yeah. Well, as you said before, when you weren't able to play, you're on the bench, you learned how to be the best team player that you could. You learned how to be this leader without even having to throw a pitch. And then to see how these guys are leading by example, then you can do that moving forward. I remember when I was playing soccer in high school, you know, I had mono and then I had a knee injury. I was out pretty much the whole season. I only played one game, but the entire time I showed I'm working my ass off regardless on the side. And I think I was able to contribute to the season that way. You were able to contribute when you were working your way up. And here you are now with the Savannah Bananas, and you're seeing this like, wow, there are these people that have this same kind of not only resilience, but mindset and heart that I've learned and developed over the years. That must have made you feel like, okay, wow, okay, this is the right place.
100%. And like I've always been taught, like you are who you surround yourself with.
Yes.
And like there's so much that – I always said there's so much that I can learn from everyone around me. Like everybody, like, and I think of myself as a sponge, and I'm just kind of like soaking up information, soaking up like good qualities from everyone around me. Like, I'm like, all right, like, I like that about you. You know what? I'm going to use that. I like that. I like that. And with Banana Ball, like, it's just such a good group of guys that I feel like the more time that I spend down in Savannah with all of them, like the better person I am. And so it's just such a blessing to be able to be in a situation where I'm able to surround myself with so many great people.
Absolutely. So I know we're getting close to the end of this, but I got a couple of last questions I've been saving for the end. Want to make sure that we get them in, of course. With the 2026 season, we mentioned this before, you're a huge Yankees fan. You're going to be playing at Yankee Stadium. Dude, what is that going to feel like? Because obviously right now, like, it's still building up inside of you. Like, oh my God, Yankee Stadium. Oh my God, Yankee Stadium. Tell us about that feeling.
I mean, it's every time I hear that and I just think about the fact that that's going to happen, I sometimes get emotional. But growing up, I would always go to Yankee games with my dad, with my family. And every single time when we'd walk in, the first thing we would do is – we'd go right to the first section and look out, and we'd look at the mound. And my dad would be like, you're going to pitch there. You're going to pitch there. And I'd be like, I'm going to pitch there. So, like, he would say that to me at a very young age. And then eventually I got to the point where I'd go even without him, like with my friends. And still the first thing I did every single time is I'd walk out there, look at that mound, and say, I'm going to pitch on that mound. And when I got drafted to the Bananas, it was just like such an emotional roller coaster, and I was so excited about the opportunity. And then my sister just goes, you know what that means? I was like, what? She goes, you're going to play at Yankee Stadium. And I just like lost it in that moment. Like, I started just getting like teary eyed, just thinking about how every single moment in my life that led up to it. And now I'm going to be pitching at the same place that I've been to probably over 300 times. And that was the highlight of my week or year, was being able to go watch Derek Jeter play, or being able to go watch Mariano Rivera play. Like, it was, there's been so much build up for it. And then now it's actually happening, that I'm going to actually go stand on that mound and pitch in front of a sold out crowd. It's, I truly can't believe it.
Dude, I'm getting emotional just listening to you, man. Like, oh my God, like, I can feel your emotions. Oh my God, that is amazing. Connor, dude, I'm proud of you. The Hudson Valley's proud of you. This whole area is proud of you. I know your family and friends are. That's so, so cool. One of the last things I want to leave on, you just announced the other day as of filming this. Actually, it might have been yesterday you announced this, if I saw it right. You're going to be continuing on wearing the number 30. How's that feel to be able to continue wearing this number that you've had this whole time, building this legacy as number 30. And here you are, Savannah Bananas, just announced you get to keep that number.
So what I've always said about like being at this level and being on the Savannah Bananas, and there's going to be a lot of more spotlight that comes with it, a lot more opportunity to impact people. But I've always said that I don't want to change who I am at all. I want to stay exactly true to myself, stay authentic to truly who I am, except the only thing that's changing is that the following and my opportunity to impact is growing. Mm-hmm. And I've been wearing number 30 since high school. I wore it at George Washington. I wore it in summer ball. I wore it at Winthrop. Wore it on the Visitors. So it's just like, for me, it's just another reminder that like, you're still that same kid. Like you're still that same 12-year-old with joy that if he found out he was going to a Yankee game, that's all he could think about that week. If he had a game later that night at 6 o'clock and he woke up in the morning, that was the first thing he thought of right when he woke up. So it just reminds me in a way of nothing's changed. Like I'm still able to play the game that I love. I'm still the same Connor Harris. It's just now I just get to wear it and do it on a whole bigger level. So it's really, really cool. I was really happy about that.
New jersey, new team, but same number 30, same Connor Harris, and he's got so much to show off. Connor, mind-blowing episode, dude. Mind-blowing time. I can't wait to follow your career, see where it takes you. This is so, so impressive. As we wrap up this episode here, where can people, one, follow you, and two, is there any last little nugget that you want to save for everybody who's listening right now?
Yeah, so following, it's anywhere on Instagram, it's Connor Harris 30. TikTok is Connor Harris _30. And Facebook, Connor Harris, same thing. And then YouTube is Connor Harris 30. So, I mean, I post on most all platforms. And give me a follow. I'll definitely let you in on the story. And hopefully I'll have some videos that will impact you in a positive way, because that's the goal of most videos. So definitely do that. And I would say my last little nugget is just like, in terms of like life in general, is it goes by very fast. And especially if it's you're a kid or you're a mother or father growing up, like just try and be in the moment as much as possible and have a goal. Like I always said, you can't chase a dream if you don't know where you're going, if you don't know what direction to run in. So have a direction, have something that you're chasing, but with that, like still be in every moment. Like I remember thinking, I can't wait to get to this level. I can't wait to, if I was in high school, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to pitch in college. If I was in college, I'm like, I can't wait to pitch professional ball. And looking back at it, you want to, like you're living the days. Like those are the days. High school baseball, on the bus rides, Little League, at the snack shack after the game. Like there's so many different little moments of every part of your life that are too important for you to just wish you were in a different moment. So I would say just have a direction, have a dream, and but also be in the moment.
Beautiful. Definitely, it's important to be present. Connor, this has been phenomenal. Happy holidays, my dude. Enjoy it with your family. It's going to be a very joyous holiday season, I'm sure. And we can't wait to see what you do with the Savannah Bananas in 2026. Connor, really appreciate your time.
Let's go. Thank you. Happy holidays. Looks like you're already celebrating. You got the sweater on.
Exactly. Holiday party right after this. We're going.
It's official.
I'm Connor. Whoa, two Connors. And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, Impact PR and Communications, MHA of Dutchess County, Locks That Rock Hair Design, Dutchess Beer Distributors, A Touch of Naples Pizza and Pasta, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Safe LLP, Attorneys at Law, Prime Storage, V-Bash Med Spa and the Hudson Valley Ketamine Lounge, Walsh Valuation, and Day Rock. Thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, all of those who have generously contributed to the Walsh Wednesday 2025 Fund Drive. You can see the list of names on screen or in the description of this episode. And of course, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday Warriors, Jim Robinson, John Newhall, Meg Boyce, and Jenna Hess. These individuals have pledged $100 or more to Walsh Wednesday for 2025, either through the GoFundMe or our Patreon. You can support this channel by becoming a Patreon member with memberships as low as $5 a month. With that, you can get behind-the-scenes content, your name featured in the credits of each episode, and access to the Spend Some Time chat. You can find that and more by scanning the QR code on your screen or by going to the links in the description. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.